As it's written in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, reading verses 9 to 13 and then 35 to 38. This begins on page 739 of the Pew Bible. Jesus called certain people to follow him. People that were frowned upon by others and later states that more workers are needed. Matthew chapter 9, reading verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." He ends the first lesson. Here again, the word of God, as it's written in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, and then verses 19 to 21. This can be found on page 788 of the Pew Bible. Jesus is followed by many more than the 12 disciples. Luke gives us a glimpse of the depth of his following and highlights some remarkable women among them. Luke 8, reading from verse 1. Soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Then Jesus' mother and brother came to see him, but they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to see you." Jesus replied, "My mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of this word. Amen. In the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Will you come and follow me, if I but call your name? Beautiful words we just sang. Words that apply as much to you and I today as it did to the disciples 2,000 years ago. We heard earlier in our talk with the young at heart how Jesus called the first of his 12 disciples, the 4 fishermen, Andrew, Simon, James and John, to follow him. And we heard in our first Bible reading that Jesus also called people like Matthew, someone considered scum by the Pharisees. And Jesus asked those first disciples to follow him, "What do you mean?" For the first disciples, indeed for every first century Jew, the words "follow me" were packed with meaning. Every Jewish boy grew grew up wanting to be a rabbi. The whole education system was geared to that end. You would be taught and trained right from childhood. This included memorizing the first five books of the Bible before going on to memorize the whole of the Old Testament. A rabbi would choose who follows him. His student, his disciple. They naturally chose the best of the best. A rabbi would look for someone who would learn all that the rabbi taught in order that he might be able to do all that the rabbi himself did. That's what it meant to follow back in the first century. Most, however, dropped out of the grueling education process or were never chosen in the first place. Those who dropped out would typically return home and take up their father's trade, perhaps carpentry or fishing. When Jesus called his first disciples to follow him, they knew exactly what he meant. He was calling them to learn all that he taught in order that they might do all that he did and so become all that he was. He was calling them to become like him. That's what it meant to follow, to become like Jesus. That's what it meant then, and that's what it still means today. That's what it means for you and I this morning, in every moment of your life when Jesus calls you to follow him. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Who do you follow? At the click of a Twitter button, you can follow almost anyone. Celebrities. People love following celebrities. People are just fascinated by what celebrities do, what they have for breakfast. Many young people today think they would like to be a celebrity. And I wonder if they know what they wish for. If you are a celebrity, your personal life is on public display, and the crowd that loves you one day can spit you out the next. Like public property, you are to be used, consumed, and discarded, but not liked anymore. It's not always a wonderful thing to be a celebrity. Look what happened to Jesus in Holy Week. One moment he was the centre of affection and adoration. The next, he was outcast and condemned. People also follow fashion. People want to know what the latest thing is. And with the persuasion of advertising, it's very hard sometimes to resist that thing. Because we live in a consumer society. There's a pressure to follow. We're told that everyone else has it, which results in, I want to have it. I need to have it. I've got to have it. Like the latest iPhone. You just have to have it. The old one can't do what this one can. You'll need one of these or you'll be second class. You have to have one of these to be with the in crowd. And it promises to make you happy if you have one. At least until the year after next, when the next upgrade is released. The Bible says, the fashion of this world passes away. In other words, what people think is great today is gone tomorrow. Something else always replaces it. Another thing that people follow is the crowd. And there are certainly crowds following Jesus. In our second reading from Luke, the Gospel writer tells us that there was a lot more than just the 12 disciples who were called to follow Jesus. Many others who were willing to go where they didn't know and never be the same. The list includes several women. The most notable to us is probably Mary Magdalene. But I wonder if, like me, name the other two that were mentioned? Joanna and Susanna. They were among a group of women who had been healed by Christ, and they showed their gratitude and love by supporting her. They were powerful and resourceful women. They had the means financially to help. They were also bold enough to support a cause that was anti-establishment. The things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus did were anti-establishment. They went against the beliefs and practices of the day. Those women reminded me of the ones I saw predominantly on television on Thursday past. It was International Women's Day, and programs were full of powerful, liberated women speaking out in search of equality. Women like Joanna, Susanna, and Mary Magdalene. Women who walked with Jesus during his life, who remained at the foot of the cross as he hung down, who followed his lifeless body to the tomb, and who were the first to discover that Jesus had risen, just as he said he would. And after overcoming the initial shock, these women joyfully went and told the disciples that the one who they had supported and loved was no longer bound by the chains of death. And allowing these women to be the first to proclaim the glorious resurrection, Jesus the Christ acknowledged their faithful support and honoured the love they had for him. He gave them a role of honour in his kingdom work, thus liberating all women from the shadow of sexism and commissioning all to be bold proclaimers of his words and his works. Rachel Held Evans, the author of the bestseller A Year of Biblical Womanhood, wrote that Christ ushered in this new era of life and liberation in the presence of women, and that he sent them out as the first witnesses of the complete gospel story is perhaps the boldest, most overt affirmation of their equality in his kingdom that Jesus ever delivered. The call of Jesus to follow him is a call to all who know him as Savior. We come to him for salvation and then follow him in service. We come to the foot of the cross to be redeemed, and then we take up the cross to serve him for the rest of our lives. I have been asked in the past, why were none of the 12 disciples with him? Only Jesus can answer that question. He calls us to follow him according to his plan, not our wishes or our sense of equality. The 12 disciples were set apart by Jesus, chosen for special training. One of the definitions of the word disciple is learner. The 12 disciples had a lot to learn, for they were chosen to one day be apostles. No longer learning, but teaching others. But not everyone who Jesus calls to follow him is chosen to be a leader. S.I. McMillan, in his book None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application form that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, "No," and returned the application form, expecting the worst. Much to her surprise, she received this letter from the college. It said, "Dear applicants, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." Jesus often calls the most unlikely of people to follow him. He called Matthew a tax collector. In those days, Israel lived under Roman oppression, and the Romans transacted with some of the locals to become tax collectors. In other words, they just used them. They used them as go-betweens, and they required that they extract taxes from the normal Jewish people. Now you can imagine the attitude there was to someone who's a tax collector for the hated Romans. And most of them were corrupt people anyway. They've added something for themselves and what they charged for tax. They were absolutely scorned, derided, and despised. Matthew was such a tax collector. He lived in a community where everyone hated him. His only comfort was the money he got and the wealth he had from living as a tax collector. At a personal level, he was without friends, he was without a sense of belonging, or without a sense of community. He was one of the most unlikely people in that town that Jesus would call to be his follower and his disciple. It's the same today. God chooses the most unlikely people. People like you and me. Sinful people. And to us, Jesus says, follow me. Here's the interesting thing about this. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Now, there's a lot of things in life that you don't choose. You didn't choose the country you were born in. You don't choose the colour of your skin. You don't choose your family. You have no say or influence in these things. There's one other thing that you also can't choose, and that's the call of God on your life. It's God's decision to call you. You didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. The Bible says he chose you before the foundation of the world. Think about that. God chose you. He selected you. And he chose you for something, for some reason. The problem is, we don't mind being chosen. We just neglect the next bit. The bit where we have to go, where we don't know and never be the same. Caring for cruel mankind, risking the hostile stare, letting the blinded see, setting the prisoners free, kissing the leper clean, admitting what Jesus means. The bit where we have to turn and follow Jesus. Jesus calls us to follow him, to be his disciples, to learn from him, to become like him. If you have taken Jesus as your Savior, if you are grateful for his sacrifice that has freed you from the debt of your sin, then you will know in your heart the truth of these words. Lord, your summons echo true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you often get confused about the call. We often think that we are the ones who started. The truth is, we respond to something you do. You place something in our hearts, and we respond to you. You call us. Lord, that's amazing. You, the creator of the whole world, the universe, the one who made the mountains and the seas, that you would call us Preview Park, us. Yet you do. You know each and every one of us, and you have a plan for each and every one of us. There is something that we have to do for you. So Lord, when we hear that call, when we hear that voice inside us of Jesus saying to us, follow me, Lord, give us the courage to say yes, Lord, to leave behind our past and to follow you and to live with you every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.